the day which the Lord has made. We will.
And I hope you said rejoice and be glad in it at home. This is the day which the Lord has made. And we should and we will rejoice. And we will be glad in it. You know, Proverbs 22:3 says, and it says, a prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. But the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. And I thought it was interesting as we read what we're going through today. A prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. And a simpleton goes blindly and suffers the consequences. That was Proverbs 22:3. But if you look at Proverbs 22:2, this is so important. It says, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Amen? The Lord is the maker of them all. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. And we'll spend the rest of today in Matthew 16, just briefly heading back towards chapter 20, and going through the events that took place this week in the life of Christ. Now, Chuck Swindoll said, we are all, again, say at home, all. We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Let me read that once again. We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. I don't know of anyone more than our Savior Jesus Christ that faced a series of great opportunities that to others were brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Jesus knew this firsthand, and in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 28, Jesus predicts for the first time his death. And we'll get to his triumphant entry in just a minute. But before that, he predicts his death three times to the disciples. And he says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and he must suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day that he would be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, never, Lord. Never will this happen to you. This shall never happen. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Could you imagine the Savior saying that to you? Saying, as you said, this will never happen to you, teacher. He says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And I think that's exactly where we all are. We are stumbling blocks to Jesus because we have our mere human concerns in mind and not the concerns of God. And Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now, let me stop right there and just tell you. Today's message, I told you last week, the message series this week and next week is where? Where? Today, as we look at that, it's simply talking about where do you stand? Whoever wants to be my disciple, in verse 24, must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for you to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward everyone according to what they have done. Now listen to this. Verse 28. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Jesus predicts His death, and He says, this is coming. So when we look at the message today, where, I want you to focus on any time I say where. When we talk about where do you stand? Do you deny yourself Do you take up your cross and follow Him? Do you just take up your cross and carry it around as a decoration? I take up my cross, I put it around my neck. But is it just a decoration? Or do I pick up this cross and do I follow Him? Do your actions have eternal value? You notice all these things stay connected over the last several weeks as we talked about having eternal value. As we talked about what do you do and what does your life represent? Will it have eternal value? Do you deny yourself? Do you follow Him? Verse 27 says that He will reward everyone according to what they have done. He will reward everyone. Say at home, everyone. Say it out loud. Everyone. He will reward everyone according to what you have done. He will reward you for what you have done. What are we doing with our time here on earth? Now, Jesus goes on, if you would turn to, just stay there or flip the page or whatever, to Matthew chapter 17, verse 22 and 23. And Jesus predicts His death again. And He says, when they came together in Galilee, He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered over to human hands. He will be killed. And on the third day, He will be raised to life. And this time, the disciples, it said, are filled with grief. They're concerned at this point. Now flip over to Matthew chapter 20. And in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 through 19, He predicts His death again. He says, now when Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, on the way He took the 12 aside, and He said to them, and He took the disciples alone, and He separated them. And He said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn Him. They will condemn Him to death and will hand Him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. But on the third day, He will be raised to life. I think Jesus began to see these great opportunities. And His disciples started to see them disguised as impossible situations. So it's not as though Jesus doesn't understand. This looks pretty tough. I mean, He's predicting what's going to happen. He will be turned over to human hands. They will beat Him, condemn Him. They'll crucify Him. They'll mock Him. But He also knew what was going to take place after that. And He said, after that, the Son of Man, each time when He predicted His death, each time He said, after that, on the third day, He will be raised to life. Jesus knew what was coming. The impossible situations could be used as great opportunities. For what? To glorify God. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 21. And this is what we generally do when we celebrate. And we have palms and we wave them around. And Jesus is preparing for His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And it says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent His two disciples and He told them, go into the village, you at once, you'll find a donkey tied there and a colt. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone asks what you're doing, you tell them the Lord has need of them and He will send them right away. This took place to fulfill the Scriptures as it was written by the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt. Colt. Sorry, my accent there. Not colt. Colt. the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus said, and they brought the donkey. And as they came in there, verse 8 says, a very large crowd took off their jackets and they began to spread their cloaks on the road. And others cut off branches from the trees and they spread them on the road, leaving a path for him. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed, and they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now the Savior of the world has done many signs and wonders at this point. He's done as the prophet said. He was gentle and came riding in. They've thrown their cloaks and branches down on the pathway for him. And as he came in, slowly with a great attendance. And there they're shouting. Now let me ask, where would you be? Would you be lined up there? Would you be throwing your coat on the ground? Cutting branches and waving them in celebration and throwing them down in the roadway. Shouting with a crowd, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Where would you be? Where would you find yourself? Jesus, over the next couple days, had a lot of activities that were taking place. He entered the temple and he drove out those that were selling goods and buying goods there. He was not pleased with that. Jesus spoke at one point about what the children were saying. It said the blind and lame in verse 14 of chapter 21. It said the blind and lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. And it says, when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children in the temple were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! The little children are shouting that. It says they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked. And Jesus replied, yes. Yes, I do. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? When we hear our infants making noise in the church service, this scripture comes to mind. I love hearing our children make noise. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Jesus then has his authority question. He begins to speak in parables. And then there was anointing. If you would turn over to Matthew chapter 26. And I'm kind of going through things a lot, but Palm Sunday we celebrate the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But I want us to think about everything that happened in the days after that. Because to me, that lines up with where we may find ourselves. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 6, I find this to be a very interesting scripture. It says, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, notice he's at the home of a leper where others would never gather, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Lordy, another group of indignant people. And they asked Jesus and said, why this waste? This perfume could have been sold at a high price and money given to the poor. In other words, Jesus, look at us. We could have done a holy act in your name for the poor. She's gone and wasted this on you and ruined a good act. Jesus again asked them, why are you bothering this woman? Why harass her? She has done a good thing. For the poor? No. For us? No. Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing to me. We have to be careful. I read last week the scripture that said, who are we to judge others? And in this time, trust me, we can become very judgmental because a lot of us seem to have extra time on our hands. And we want to second guess the actions of others. Where would you be in the home of the leper? First of all, would you be found in the home of a leper with Jesus? Where would you be when you saw this woman do this? Very expensive. Alabaster jar. She's now just wasted on the Savior. Would you be with the disciple? My goodness, what is she doing? The indignant group? You see, we have to be careful because we don't know who has ordained the actions of others. It's real easy to stand back and second guess him or her or them or that group. But we don't know who God has spoken to and what message he has given them. And Jesus reminds the disciples, why are you bothering this woman? She has done this beautiful thing for me. She has done it to me. She has done it for me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. The disciples couldn't grasp that. They didn't understand. He had predicted his death three times. He said, when I go to Jerusalem, I will be handed over to human hands. They will beat me. They'll curse me. They'll mock me. They will crucify me. And it does say at one point that they were concerned with that, but they never really grasped it. And Jesus tells them, she is preparing my body, preparing me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And that's why I included it today, because it is so important to share that she did this for Jesus. Not for others, not for the disciples, but for Jesus. She had a benefit, she had a purpose, and it was given to her by God to do that. We have to be careful. Now, those were just a few of the great opportunities that began to stack up for Jesus in the upcoming days. As we read further, next in verse 14, we won't read it today, but Judas agrees to betray Jesus. 30 pieces of silver. Hey, you can do some stuff with that money. The woman with the perfume didn't need that money. She needed to serve Jesus. Jesus gathers together with his disciples as they celebrated the Lord's Supper. He ate the bread and drank. When Jesus does that, you know, we won't be able to meet this week. And we won't be able to have our Maundy Thursday foot washing service that has become very special to me. Because when Jesus gathers the disciples, he breaks himself down to a servant and washes their feet. And again, they try and say, "No, no, no. You will never wash my feet." And he says, "This must happen." They said, "Not just my feet, but all of me." And Jesus said, "You don't all need that." Now he did, as he sat with them, say, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me," in verse 21 of Matthew 26. And Jesus served. He humbled himself. He served the disciples. Where would you be? Would you? Could you humble yourself? Could you serve others? Jesus set the example for all of us. So as opportunities stack up, he washes the feet of his disciples in humility and servanthood. Now in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, starts speeding up. And Jesus says, "This very night you will all fall away." Now again, a very powerful statement. As a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're meeting with him, and he says, "Hey, by the way, tonight, you all that have followed me for the last couple years, yeah, just you 12 will fall away from me, every one of you. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Church, we need to be careful right now that we do not scatter and find ourselves out alone amongst the wolves. We must stay together and be connected together and join together and invite others to join together with us, so that we are not scattered. "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Good old Peter said, "Even if all the others fall away on account of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus answered again and says, "Truly I tell you, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown and deny me 3 times. Don't tell me you won't fall away. The other weaklings will, but not me." Jesus reminded him, Yeah, actually, before the rooster crows 3 times tonight, you're going to deny me. Not once, Peter. Lord, not twice. No, not twice. Oh, thank goodness. 3 times. And Peter declared again, and he said, "Even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will never disown you." And the other disciples said the same. Well, now, Jesus went on, and I thought, what an opportunity now for Peter. Where would we be sitting around the table with Jesus? He tells us, "By the way, all of you are going to fall away from me tonight." I would hope we'd start looking inside very quickly, very deeply. Not just scratching on the surface, Not just digging in a little bit, but digging deep inside. A lot of opportunity. Now Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he asked his disciples to stay and keep watch with him. They don't. He said, sit here while I go over there to pray. Jesus said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Will you stay here and keep watch with me? And he went a little further and he fell to his face on the ground and he prayed. He said, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup, remove it from me and take it away from me. Yet, Father, not as I will, but as you will. And then Jesus returned to the disciples. He found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch? Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? And he asked Peter this. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And in verse 42, he went away for a second time and he prayed. He said, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, so be it. May your will be done. And Jesus returned to the disciples and once again found them fast asleep. When he came back and found them asleep because their eyes were heavy, he left them and went away for a third time. And he prayed the same thing. And he returned to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Get up, disciples. Get up. It's time to go. For my betrayer is at hand. Jesus is arrested. And he looks at Judas, who agreed to kiss him. Said, the man I kiss is him. And Jesus looked at him and said, friend, do what you came for. Where would we be? Would we betray Jesus? Let's stand in Jesus' shoes, sandals, if you will. Where would we be? Call our betrayer friend. Friend, do what you came to do. I know it has to happen. Knowing we are facing impossible situations, would we be on our knees before the Father? Not once, not twice, but three times. Asking others to pray with us, but praying ourselves. But also praying, saying, God, if there's any way this can pass, so be it. But nevertheless, God, don't let it be my will that I pursue, but let it be your will. And I think sometimes when we pray in our will, and the answer is no, God is simply saying, if you pray in my will, the answer could be yes. But because you're praying your own will, the answer is no, because you can't handle what I can do for you. Or you won't handle what I'm going to give you if I answer yes. Pray in His will and start seeing if the answers change. Pray for His will to be done. Pray in a way that says, God, how can what I'm going through glorify and honor you? How can I glorify and honor you when I go through what I'm going through? Where is your spirit? Where is your flesh? In verse 40 and 41, couldn't you men keep watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Where is your flesh today? And where is your spirit today? We looked at some great opportunities Jesus had. One great opportunity was when Judas agreed to betray Jesus. Another great opportunity was when Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him. Now another great opportunity is in verse 42 when he just says, man, you guys have fallen asleep. Now it's time to get up because my betrayer is coming. The time is at hand. These great opportunities for Jesus after his triumphant entry. The next couple of days they start changing. These great opportunities start stacking up. One after another. Impossible situations for man. Incredible and great opportunities for our Savior. Now Jesus is arrested in verse 55. And it says, am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? For every day I sat in the temple courts teaching. You didn't come there and arrest me. Verse 56. But this had all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then, all the disciples deserted him, and fled. Now Jesus is alone with his accusers. He goes through many things, and in verse 69 of chapter 26... Verse 69. Peter sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. And she said, You were with Jesus of Galilee. Peter, in front of them all, denied it and said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he went out to the gateway. There's another servant girl, and she saw him and said to the people over there, said, This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. I saw him. He was with him. He denied it again with an oath and said, I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, Surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore at them and he said, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me and deny me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Where would you be when those came out and said, were you not with him? Are you not associated with that man? Aren't you part of that group? Where would you answer? Now in chapter 27, the events of this next week, they ramp up. And Jesus goes through this exchange. And in verse 22, they have the opportunity to release a prisoner named Barabbas. Verse 22, Pilate asked, what shall I do then? Jesus, who is called the Messiah. And the crowd again, shouting out this time. They said, crucify him. And Pilate said, what crime has he committed? Why would I do this? And the crowd shouted all the louder, crucify him! Crucify him! Same crowd. Same loud cheers. Crucify him! And they shouted it even louder. Pilate saw he was getting nowhere and instead was starting to create an uproar. And he took water from a basin and he washed his hands. And he stood in front of the crowd after he had washed his hands in front of them. He said, I am innocent of this man's blood. This is your responsibility. And he released the prisoner Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged. And he handed him over to be crucified. Where would you be? Hosanna, Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. What do you want us to do to this man? Crucify him. Crucify him. Have you ever celebrated Jesus Christ on Sunday and denied him through the rest of the week? By your actions, by your words to others, where would you be? Now in verse 27, the soldiers start mocking Jesus. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him. They mocked him. They put a staff in his right hand as a scepter, knelt in front of him and mocking him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spit on him. He took the staff and struck him in the head. As they were going out in verse 32, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon. They forced him to carry the cross. And they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And there they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. They crucified him. They divided his clothes and cast out lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him. And above his head, they placed a sign that said, "This is Jesus." Rebels were crucified, thieves in other books of the Bible, one on his right and one on the left. And it said, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it back up in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In verse 42, "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross. Then we will believe in him." You trust in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants to. Because remember, he told us he was the Son of God. Now from noon till 3 in verse 45, darkness came over the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. He said, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some standing there heard that and they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with sweet vinegar or with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus. The rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes down to save him." When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. He said, "It is finished." Curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city, and they appeared to many people. The centurion, who was guarding Jesus, saw this, and they began to be terrified, and they shouted out, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. Where would you be? Be there, you'd be watching from a distance as Jesus carried his cross. We come together for a great celebration. We're unable to meet next week, like I said, and we're unable to meet this week for Holy Week activity, for our foot washing service. Here's what I thought. As we do whatever we're doing in this upcoming week, about where you stand. Look at your impossible situations. And see if maybe they aren't just brilliantly disguised opportunities. Some life may be different because they have found these brilliantly disguised opportunities taking advantage of them. Some may search out God's will for their life and their situation and not their will. And God will reveal a way out. God says, "I always have a way out." Let's off your eyes to see the way out. But I want to challenge you to find ways to do as Jesus did, to humble himself, to serve others, to pick up your cross, follow him. Take the opportunity this next week to find ways to do that. Humble yourself, serve others, pick up your cross. Like you are following him from a safe distance, maybe afraid of being recognized as one of his followers, as someone associated with him. You find yourself cheering him on. Things are going well, yet cursing him, hollering out to crucify him. When things are going wrong, possibly dozing off with him, he's asking you to stay alert and be vigilant. Remember, he tells us to stay alert. Why? The enemy is out there. Heavenly Father, we just ask you this week to help lead us and guide us. God, we ask you to make us aware of opportunities rather than impossible situations. God, help us to find opportunity this week to humble ourselves before others, even before our spouses and our family, our closest friends, our co-workers, our fellow students, our neighbors. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to serve others in any way we can. Become servants. Lord, help us find other opportunities this week. To show your love and your life. Help us understand the events that took place from your triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The horrible events that unfolded after that, down to your crucifixion, leaving the crucifixion and burial. Help us be aware of that. Help grow us where we stand. We're going to come together next week and we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now don't forget, next week we're going to celebrate communion again for Easter, so be sure you have your elements, I call them, your cracker, your bread, your juice. Have that together for next week. If you have need or opportunity, please reach out directly to Pastor Eric or myself with those needs. As we go out this next week, look for those opportunities. We'll see you next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to close again. You can dismiss if you want right now and disconnect. I'm going to just play a song as we end it. We'll see you soon. God bless. God of this city, you're the King of these people, you're the Lord of this nation, you are. You're the light in the darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to this restless, you are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in the city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in the city. He's the God of the city, and there are greater things yet to come. Look to God for your direction, your hope, your peace, and your joy. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Amen.